You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Tanya Pinkins. You're listening to You Can't Say That on the Broadway Podcast Network. My guest today is an old young friend, meaning I've known him for a long time, but compared to me, he's kind of young. Please join me in welcoming Ari Daniels. Hey, Ari.
Hey.
Where are you in the world?
I am in or very near Monterey, Virginia.
But you're like on a mountain or something, building a house or something?
I am indeed on a mountain. Not building a house at the moment. But yes, building a house.
Did you get snow?
We did. We got 2 inches Monday and ballpark 6 inches or so on Wednesday. And then we got, you know, that nice little thin coating of ice on top just to make it all crunchy so it's a pain in the ass for the dogs. So
I know you're building a house. Tell me about building a house.
Okay. Jess and I, my partner, are... Yeah, our plan is to build a house, and we're hoping to build one sort of quickly. Our timeline got pushed a little bit by COVID. It just seemed like if you're going to set yourself up at some point to be kind of self-sufficient and live in a way that, you know, you're more independent and things like that, that, man, there is no time like a year ago. And then the second best time, of course, is as soon as humanly possible. So we started moving on it. So far, in terms of actual build, it doesn't look like much of a house. Like where the house is going to sit, all you can see is concrete foundation, and a bit of the grading. But we've done a good amount of work. Jess wanted a little studio, a place where she could do yoga and have her office space and things like that, and have a nice view. So that we're probably 80% done with, or something like that. Haven't gotten through the finish work. But Jess's dad is a builder, and he's been building for decades now, and he does great work, knows what he's doing. So I'm sort of I'm grunt work. I'm skilled and talented grunt work. I don't know, you know, exactly how the build is done, but I take instruction well, and I'm very careful. I'm precise. I'm an engineer, so I come at things in that method, but I haven't built houses from the ground up. Dave has. So, basically just following his lead on that. We just need to finish out the interior now, basically.
And it's just the three of you?
Well, no. So Jess's parents, Dave and Susan, live over at the same place where they've lived since before Jess was born, which is why Monterey, Virginia, right? It's like not on anybody's radar unless you happen to be somewhere within a few hours of here and just know of this area, which not a lot of folks do. Like Monterey, Google wants to correct, you know, the autocorrect. If you type in Monterey, VA, unless it has already been trained that you are in fact looking for Monterey, Virginia, it thinks, of course, its suggested results are going to say Monterey, CA, because Monterey, California is obviously much bigger than Monterey, Virginia. You know, we got like 2,200 people in the county here or something like that. The town itself, I think, has fewer than 200. So,
wow.
Anyway, so, you know, I have dreamt for probably 2.5 decades or something like that about getting out somewhere, living in the mountains, you know, building my own place, living. It started out living off the land, and then I kind of revised my language a little, living with the land. And, you know,
Tell me the difference. What's living off versus living with?
There was something about the language probably 15 years ago or something like that. The phrase living off the land just kind of hit me as exploitative in terms of its connotation, and it was just the angle, whatever it was, the way that it hit me. Living off the land is like, I'm going to use that. I'm going to eat that. I'm going to take that. And living with the land is trying to find that sort of that conversation, you know, to find the harmony, whatever it is, you know, so that, yes, obviously, I mean, you know, I mean, it's hunting season. I go out, I will, you know, shoot, butcher, and eat a deer.
When are you going to send me some venison?
Yeah. If I thought that traveled well by carriers, and you know, now I can't get anything unless
FedEx, freeze it up for me and FedEx me some venison. There's nothing like fresh venison.
We'll make it. So I assume you're stateside then.
Huh?
I assume you're stateside.
I'm in New York now.
Right on. Actually, it might even work. We'll work it out. We'll work it out. Yeah.
Awesome. No, you're right. Sausage.
Nothing beats venison.
Fresh. So. So now I looked at that mustache and I'm like, are you like doomsday prepping?
No, I am not that. So the term prepper itself has gotten a bad connotation over the years for various very legitimate reasons, because there are some total boneheads that, you know, like the word prepper is their identity. But prepper, I don't know, I feel like I can break it down. One who prepares. And so, you know, Jess and I are, we are moderately prepared, right? Here's our level of prep, right? And like the sort of the cultist preppers will tell you never tell anyone about your preps, right? It's like, then you've given it away. You know, they're going to come and they're going to take your shit. But you know, we've got a little generator. So if we need to run the refrigerator, the freezer downstairs or something like that, we've got that covered. We're on gravity fed spring water, and we have gas heat for our water. So we've got good water and we've got hot water. All we need are lights, basically, so we keep all our batteries and our flashlights and stuff charged up. And, you know, I mean, we've got oil lamps as like a total backup if the batteries run out and, you know, who knows, we're a week out and stuff is still hairy. There's a wood furnace in the basement that we use if we need to, if it's particularly chilly or if the power's out or something like that. And, you know, we have enough. Look, these days, I feel like anybody who's trying not to go to the grocery store every couple of days has at least a few weeks of food. And that's like, you know, your prep is having a food, water, you know, appropriate shelter, which includes shelter from the elements. And, you know, the rest is kind of gravy, but you know, the fundamental needs of the human being, right? Food, water, shelter, medicine, tools, education, skills, or whatever. So the last one takes care of the others.
Will you tear down the house you're living in when you go into the house you're building?
Ah, we are living in a rental.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think the landlord would be happy with that.
Okay, I didn't know.
No, we got lucky. It's not like this is a real thick rental market. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of uninhabited places out here. I'm sure half of them are dilapidated. You know, this is a very rural area. We're in the Appalachians. We're lucky. You know, this is good internet. You know, we can have a couple video calls at the same time, and you know, everything's peachy. But we are way the hell out there. And just like I said, happened to get lucky. There was a house that wasn't actually like made available for rent, but we knew somebody that wasn't inhabiting their house. We're like, hey, would you rent that? They're like, only because it's you. So
you're set. On virgin land that you're building your house.
Yes. Yeah. Jess's folks had a little piece of property next to theirs. I mean, it was all sort of one property, but it was divided as two parcels. They just deeded one to Jess and we're building on that one.
Okay. Now I heard something about Legos.
So our original plan was to try to build as basically cheap but good and fast as possible so that we could get in. Because once you're actually in your own place, you know, especially if you don't have a mortgage, then you can save money. And saving money is every bit as good as making money, as long as you're making, you know, if you're making money. And I realize that not everybody is. I'm very privileged to have the work that I do, which has allowed me to work from home long before COVID. Same thing with Jess. You know, we both set this up. It's actually the only reason that we're even able to live out here, because the closest thing that you can call a city is an hour away in perfect weather, and a lot more than an hour away if the weather's shitty. So, but
you were telling me about the Legos.
The Legos it was literally just sort of a side conversation. I was talking with Jess. There's a material that I've been interested in for a while. It goes by 100 different names, but aircrete or foamcrete. It's, you know, air entrained concrete. And even concrete is a bit of a misnomer. Technically, concrete has aggregate and sand in it. This is just cement and water and foam, like soap foam. And if you mix it up well and you're careful with your proportions and your weights and your densities and things like that, you can get a concrete that's light enough that it floats in water, has incredible insulating properties. And I mean, grand scheme, it's pretty cheap and it has a very low carbon footprint relative to concrete, which has an incredibly high carbon footprint for what it is. The cement itself is very carbon intensive in terms of its production. So what you do is you take the cement, you know, just cement and water, a slurry mixture, and you basically pump it up to 6 times its volume using, you know, dish soap and water pumped through, you know, basically like steel wool or something like that. This is sort of like the low tech version, but it's, you know, you stretch that cement a lot further, and where you don't need the strength of concrete, why pay for it? Why deal with that much weight? I mean, we did the foundation ourselves, and it was just standard classic concrete. And we mixed basically by hand. You know, we had a powered mixer, but otherwise, you know, we were basically moving all the material by hand, pouring it and placing it all by hand. We did the formwork by hand. It was 8 cubic yards of concrete. So 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet, and 8 of those in concrete. Now, as it's stretched over a bunch of days, it doesn't seem like an awful lot. When you look at it on the ground, you're like, that's not a lot. But it's an incredible amount. So I forget the exact, where did you get 150 pounds per cubic foot? It's a couple tons. It's over a ton per yard, probably a ton and a half or something like that. Anyway, so I mean, I moved 12,000 pounds of stuff. So concrete is a bear to work with. This aircrete, you know, there's some work in it too. But anyway, I was talking with Jess. That was a very long aside. I was talking with Jess about just kind of bouncing ideas off her. You know, hey, what if we, you know, the floor frame system this way? What about this for the roof line? You know, like we're designing the house. She mostly designed the house, or, you know, architectural. I've got the engineering side, and we're putting it together. And so anyway, I was bouncing ideas off her, and I told her that, you know, there are, I believe it's a Scandinavian company that I saw, but that manufacture essentially interlocking blocks, kind of like giant Legos made out of this, you know, either aircrete, whatever, cellular lightweight concrete, you know, this stuff. And as I was telling her this, you know, most of our conversations are pretty level. And then as I was telling her about basically giant Legos, her eyes lit up and she turned and she's like, ooh. I'm like, I guess that's what we're doing. It's not something that's feasible for us if we're buying. In part because very few people in the U.S. actually make them. It's a special thing to try to make the mix. There's just a lot to it. Everybody makes concrete. Jess will hear me harp on this a lot. There are a few things I dislike more than hearing it's the way we've always done it. Yeah. That's why you should do something else. Exactly why you should do something else. I mean, in its most classic and kind of in its most real definition, I am a progressive. I'm sure there are people who would argue that I'm not. On some issues, I'm crazy left, I'm crazy right, or whatever. But progress, right? The root of the word progressive. You know, I'm continuous improvement it's something that I hold. It's like it's part of my core. Hey, this thing could be a little bit better. Let's do it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Right? I'm with you.
So, anyway, Legos. But because the actual Lego design itself is tried and true, and if we were to buy these blocks from some other manufacturer, get them shipped here, whatever, it would be outrageously expensive. We're going to make them ourselves. Found Dome Gaia, DOMEGAIA. They produce and sell some relatively inexpensive and very accessible tools for making this stuff in sort of, you know, appropriate consistency. And we're going to build the formwork ourselves. We're going to make them actually like Legos. So we bought a giant custom set that somebody put together for us on Etsy of Legos, and we're going to build a scale model of our house with actual Legos, and then we're going to form up a bunch of these lightweight concrete blocks that are the big ones are going to be the same size as like a standard cinder block, but they're going to weigh about 15 pounds, maybe 20 pounds or something like that each, instead of the 35, and never mind if they were, you know, full and solid. So we're going to end up with what's likely going to be a very quiet, cozy, warm house for probably cheaper than we could stick build. And we're going to get to stack the whole thing as Legos. Now, forming the Legos is going to take probably more time than actually like building the house, like stacking them. And there's some things we have to figure out as we're going along. The floor frame is going to be standard. The roof is going to be basically standard framing and whatnot. But the wall framing and insulation is all replaced by these blocks. We're not going to fur out and frame the inside. We're not doing drywall and stuff like that. You know, we're going to do plaster on both sides, outside and in.
Where will the electrics go?
So that's a great question. A lot of it is going to be routed through the blocks. We're going to be forming basically, you know, if you take a Lego, we're going to basically have two holes that go all the way through vertically, and they should align. So if you've got, you know, one block here and one block here, you know, and then one straddles the two, the blocks, the holes on the outsides of the one up top are going to line up with the holes on the other sides of the ones underneath. So we should be able to route things down. And to go across, I've been trying to decide whether to basically chamfer the corner so that there's some space between the blocks, where the blocks stack on top of each other. So that's me trying to figure out what I look like on the camera here. So where the blocks sit together, to basically like make a bit of a depression there.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could basically run a little piece of conduit or pipe, you know, or wire or something like that along that. And what I was going to do is lay a piece of wire over that before we plaster everything so that I could basically hit it with a magnet to figure out where any lines were running. So the blocks themselves, the material itself is also workable. It's not malleable. You can't like bend it, you know, once it's sort of cured. You can shape it into anything, just like concrete, but like once it's nice and solid, you can still drill through it or cut it with a saw or something like that. It's a very workable material because it's not full of the aggregate. So,
what about septic?
Septic system, because of the weather we got, the installation of that is going to get delayed a little bit, but we've got somebody that's going to just install. It's a conventional septic system. I was really hoping to do something unconventional, somewhere between composting toilets and wastewater wetlands or something like that out here. But Virginia, the Virginia Department of Health is very much a, this is the way we've always done it kind of organization. Hang on one sec. So basically, the alternative systems are all alternative within a fairly kind of narrow, you know, range or scope, and anything has to be pre-approved, and I'm sure you have to jump through, you know, myriad flaming hoops in order to get there. So rather than try that right now, you know, that may be something to shoot for the, you know, the house that we eventually build.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now we're still, our original idea was to build something modest, live in it while we build, you know, I mean, still modest, but, you know, our dream house. Really take our time with the design, you know. Still, we're talking two bedrooms, you know, 1,600 square feet, but not.
This is the practice house.
It was going to be essentially the practice house, if you will. We're going to live in it. And I mean, my idea was that at some point, my mom would live in it. You know, she's at some point going to, you know, perhaps need a bit more help than I can give her from a distance.
I'm trying to get your mom to come to New York and stay with me. I'm in a building that's a naturally occurring retirement community that she should come live here. All the services
are kidding?
Here. I keep telling her to come here.
Well, she, all right. Maybe I'll push on her for that. Cause like, I mean, you know, my mom's a city girl, right? I mean, she's never lived out in the country. I think that's arguably one of the biggest things, you know, one, she doesn't like change. she doesn't like certain kinds of change. She doesn't like change in her specific life. You know, I'm sure she would love big change sociopolitically, but in her life, she doesn't like change, resistant to it. And you know, I know that the idea of living out the middle of freaking nowhere doesn't do it for her. So I'm going to push on her. Yeah. If you're serious about that, look,
I'm serious.
New York's a city. New York is a city.
I live in a building where all the social services for older people are in here because most of us are older people in this building, in this complex. So keep it in mind. So your mom said, ask you about water, water as a life interest.
So I will be perfectly honest. This is something my mom, I don't remember when she thought of this or made this connection. It was sometime in the last 10 years, I think. But, you know, you've got the life, liberty, you know, property, pursuit of happiness or whatever. And then there are also, you know, legal things attached to those called interests. Like, I guess a property interest is your ability to have property or something like that. It's not property specifically, but, you know, access to something is, I think, I'm not a lawyer. Absolutely not a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. But that's my limited understanding. And nobody has really spent much time or much focus, much energy, really any life interest. Of course, you have a right to your life. You know, somebody takes your life and somebody else, obviously not you anymore, has, you know, whatever, some legal recourse there. But
maybe
the life interest. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it depends on who you are.
Exactly.
Depends on who you are, who died, all of that jazz.
And, who killed
who
them.
Who dislikes you. Who killed them, all of that shit. Yeah. We know. We know. I listened, you told me that you had interviewed somebody with a perhaps unpopular position on Trayvon, considering all things. I listened to a bit of that. It's fascinating. I mean, I'm with you. Wouldn't have been a Band-Aid. Wouldn't have been a Band-Aid. But anyway, so water is a life interest. I mean, again, the fundamental needs of the human being. And I really I'm big on people redefining or sort of relearning almost what the term need means. You know, I need X, I need Y. Well, a lot of people refer back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but just from a strictly kind of like measured scientific perspective, what the human organism needs, right? I'm not talking about everything, all, you know, all the complexities that make us who we are, what we are, and human, especially if you think that we're special, but the human organism, if you were to step aside, all of a sudden you're a more evolved human, then you're looking at this animal, you're like, what this thing needs is food, water, shelter, and, you know, if we want to keep it alive, medicine. And we know that even lower life forms, or what we'll call lower life forms, need more than that, but just, you know, there's your first level, fundamental needs. And water, you know, it had always been my understanding that you can't go more than 3 days without water. I met somebody who has supposedly gone for 7-day food and water fast. I think has, you know, one piece of fruit or something like that, right in the middle or something like that. But if that's all the water you're having in a week, it bends my 2-to-3-day idea or whatever. I don't know what's going on, but maybe not when the air is so dry like it is out here, but water should be a fundamental right. And it's one of the things that fascinated me most. It's this weird kind of scary argument. And if you catch one headline, you know, I'm sure that most of my media sources for a long time were, you know, somewhere between neutral and left-leaning. And now I try to stick neutral as much as possible, or just unbiased. But I'm, you know, I was reading a lot of stuff that came on, you know, Daily Coast or Huffington Post or something like that. That's, you know, a solid left and not ashamed of it, and nor should they be. But that basically the CEO or whatever the, you know, equivalent is there of Nestle, which this is flat out evil corporation.
Evil corporation.
Nestle is part of the evil empire.
Yeah.
I'm on record saying it. Nestle is, as an organization, as an entity, it is evil. And I do my very best not to support them in any way. I don't keep the list of all the Nestle associated brands in my pocket. I should, but we're so limited in what we actually buy just in terms of range and stuff like that. I'm not too concerned about it. We're not into Nestle's brands and Unilever's brands and things like that. Not necessary to lump those two. I don't know about Unilever.
But they keep buying up the water rights in states. Nestle keeps buying water rights up.
You want to own the world? Own the water. Yeah, I mean, it's a brilliant evil plan. Yeah, everywhere. You know, some little mountain town, they buy the water rights to all the springs and streams or something like that. And you know, they buy it again. This is how the big folks do, right? You take from the little people. It's so much harder for them to resist, right?
And they sell it for
pennies. You want to run an oil pipeline? Yeah. Yeah. Well, but that's only because right now it's only worth pennies. The next wars will be fought for water. And at a certain point, water will not be worth pennies. It's truly evil. That's some of the most interesting work that I've seen and want to get into is basically water access for everyone, for anyone. That's actually one of our big challenges at the other house. Where we are right now, there's a spring on the mountain that's above us. And so, you know, gravity fed, right? We don't need a pump or anything like that. When I lived in Keswick, it was in my trailer. my water came from a well, which was awesome. It was mine, but I didn't have a manual backup. At that point, I didn't even have like a generator. So if the power went out, I had no water because I got to pump it, you know, 100 feet up. And Hurricane, was it Isabel? I've lost track. Man, we have so many damn storms. But somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 years ago, that's how my perception of time is now. I don't know. It's between 10 and 20 years ago. It's definitely before the virus. The hurricane knocked out power for a week for me. You know, other people, they were back on in a day. Some people were out longer, but I was out for a week. And what that meant is that I would have to take 5-gallon jugs into town and fill up water and come back out. And even that one little extra step, right? I still had water. Shoot, I had, you know, there was my drinking water. It was easy enough to get, you know, doesn't take a lot to flush a toilet. I mean, it takes a lot, but it doesn't take a lot. You know, I mean, a 5-gallon bucket of water can get me through a day without any real trouble. I had various advantages and I recognize those advantages. You know, I live out in the middle of the woods. I can just walk outside and pee. Not all y'all can do that. So anyway, water, life interest. I think that it should be a fundamental human right. But I watched this little video translated, and I assume that the translation was about right. That CEO of Nestle, don't know if it's the same, I assume, guy there now, but was saying that, yes, humans have a right to water, but they have a right to 25 liters of water a day. And for the rest of us, that's something like 6 gallons. Beyond that, it's a commodity. So you have a right to enough to live, right? Enough to drink, enough to wash what you need, like just barely, right? Are you gonna, 6 gallons? Could you, Tanya, deal with 6 gallons of water a day?
For some days, but you couldn't do your laundry. You couldn't, oh my God, in my house? The whole house or just per person?
Per person.
Right? If I drank a gallon.
You did the washcloth, like, you know.
Have to do a whole bath.
Pits and fun bits, right?
Right.
You know, it's.
The very idea,
you
I mean.
Do it. You could ration, right? It's like going camping. Yeah, you go camping, you can do that.
Ration it. Yeah, you could. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but we do but use too term, much water. We all use too much water.
We absolutely do.
We all
well,
use
oh,
too
and,
much water.
And you asked me about the septic system. The septic systems in Virginia, and this may depend on locality, but when I was in Albemarle County, the definition of a bedroom, right? I had a three bedroom septic system installed for that home. And three bedrooms was defined as, or basically like calculated based on, three bedrooms, two people per room, 100 gallons of water per person per day, 365 days a year. So just think about that. That's
wow.
You got Americans, and then you got this guy who wants to sell you every drop of water you use over your, you know, bare minimum drinking and washing needs.
Wow.
Somewhere in the middle there is what we do. You know, we're fairly conservative about our water. We're, you know, observing what we do. I mean, where we are right now, it's
6 and 100 gallons. That's a huge difference. Now you keep saying you're liberal, but you, like me, are a lefty with firearms.
Right, never reveal your preps, right? Yes, I do have.
I'm a lefty with firearms as well.
Yeah, well, but so I don't. I dislike labels.
Okay,
I think that they are fundamentally constraining, and that those constraints are harder to overcome than they are to apply, and that those constraints often, and this is I hate the slippery slope fallacy more than the next guy, but you know. It has the potential to create at least undesirable, if not dangerous, situations, right? If like a lot of people I know, they immediately label a person a thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, they know everything they need to know about that person,
mm-hmm.
right? Every person who identified as a Republican 10 years ago, not the same as people who identify as Republican now. And look, for various reasons, including the narratives we are fed, you know, we get into a certain place and it's what it is. I dislike labels. Am I liberal? Am I conservative? I think that both of those words are meaningless now, actually. Voltaire is my favorite author. If you wish to converse with me, define your terms.
Okay.
Voltaire. And what does conservative even mean? They're not the ones who are trying to conserve our national parks and our wildlands. Like, what the fuck does conservative mean now, right? Liberal. Well, liberal with what? If you want to constrain a lot of these other things in order to make a lot of these. So my mom talks about freedom, right? Your freedom to, at some point, needs to stop as it comes up against my freedom from.
Mm-hmm.
Your freedom to do whatever the hell you want does not include shitting all over me.
Mm.
So, you know, where we set that line and how we set that line is whatever. There's a lot to the dynamics and the mechanics of that. But anyway, sorry if I'm rambling.
No. I love that. You know, I love a smart conversation. So we were talking about definitions. So, you know, we had a lot of definitions about Antifa,
right.
And Antifa is a terrorist group. And you know, you certainly know a little more about it than I know about it. What can you tell us about it?
Probably only a little bit, honestly.
Okay. I don't know anything.
Okay. So to the labels real quick, am I liberal? Most people would call me that, I think. If you want my sociopolitical alignment, I love 8 values on GitHub. It's this quiz. It's about 75, 80 questions. And depending on really how you think about a lot of the questions and the answers, I think that it did a very good job of nailing me. Libertarian,
okay.
Socialist. And people are like, what the fuck? Those two words don't belong together. They kind of do. You're free to do what you want, you know, how you want or whatever, until what you do starts to negatively affect other people. And negatively affect other people, a lot of people think is very subjective. If you, not you, Tanya, you wouldn't do this, I assume, but like,
you
whatever.
You never know.
Right?
I could do anything.
Maybe you would. Who knows? But like, someone calls me a kike,
mm-hmm.
right? Did they harm me? Well, that is not just a function of them. That is a function of me too. I don't give two shits what somebody says to me, thinks about me, and I realize that I haven't received the same kinds of abuses and the same kinds of everything that other people have. But this is me, right? I know that you know, two people raised in the same house will react to the same stimulus two very different ways. You know, we're maybe 50% genetics, we're 50%, you know, 50% nature, 50% nurture, something like that. Who knows? But I think that we need clean measures, clean definitions of how something is an actual attack or a hurt. And I would love to be the fly on the wall watching those definitions get formed. Then,
well, all you got to do is go into Clubhouse, because they're getting deformed and they're getting created right now in Clubhouse, this new social media app that's all audio 24 hours a day. I think these kinds of things are happening. I actually was listening to a conversation today where Lakeith Stansfield was being attacked because they said, we thought you were pro-Black women and you let this person get up and diss Black women and then you let this other person do this and you stood for their right. And he said, look, we all have to learn to hear the opinions of people who we don't agree with. They have the right to have their opinions and they have the right to speak them. And, you know, I was very proud that he took that position. So, but you know, we're not going to be
in that camp
on with everybody. That I'm like, if you want to call people niggas and whatever you want to call, you can use them every language you want. Now you might not get some jobs.
That's the thing, right? Actions have consequences. A
exactly.
lot of people want the freedom to act a certain way, and then they want the freedom from the consequences. Well, you can't have both. You can't have both. Call me what you will. You call me the wrong thing, maybe you get punched. Then I realize that's not me, because I'm not going to risk that assault charge for my license. But you know what I mean? It's what it is.
Got to take the consequences. Right.
Right. There are consequences, right? You know, I mean, I studied the physical world and I know that very much the same way out in this weird kind of ethereal fuzzy buzzy world, like we're the same. You push people the right way and they're going to push back. It's the equal and opposite reaction thing. Like there's only so much you can do. And a lot of people have analyzed this from, you know, 30,000 feet a million times over. And anyway,
Hi, this is Tanya Pincus. That was part one of my conversation with Ari Daniels. We were talking house building, but come back for part two.
You is kind. You is smart. You is important. You is dead. Tanya Pinkin's horror film, Red Pill, brings African-American perspective to progressive movement.
We are a majority in this country, and we're going to win the election.
Do you know what the red pill is? A red pill is someone who infiltrates a group and then destroys them from the inside. This place is spooky.
Some people like to live dangerously.
Cass, why are you so jumpy tonight?
You know what, guys? I'm gonna go back tomorrow.
Did you hear about the creature woman that attacked a father and son hunting down here?
I don't see the case. This place creeps me out.
I think we should call the sheriff's office.
The only people missing or dead are brown people.
They're after all of us.
What do we do, Amelia?
We die. But we take some of them with us.
Hi, I'm Tanya Pinkins, and I would love to hear from you. You can text me at 917-724-8998. Tell me what you're up to, and I'll let you know what I'm up to. Text me, 917-724-8998. Let's keep in touch.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.